Hello and welcome. We're going to begin our presentation tonight on LLCs. LLCs are corporations light. It's like a corporation married a partnership and had a baby. That's what LLCs are, limited liability companies. It's an exciting new area in the law. It's only been around since 1994, which I guess seems like a long time to many students, but I was in the middle part of my career when I helped work on the statute that created LLC. So it's not that long for me, but I can tell you that it's an exciting entity. It's something that's of great interest. It's very popular. It's being used more and more. It's replacing corporations for small businesses, and it's almost eliminated partnerships for small businesses. But let's do a little bit of review from where we were the last time. We talked about the piercing of the corporate veil. And when is a corporation judicially not viewed as a corporation for purposes of liability? It really comes down to one word: fraud. If the corporation's not operating as a true corporation, if there's fraud in the activities of that corporation, then the directors and the shareholders and the officers will be held legally responsible for the materials of the liability. So there will be a violation of the limited liability. Why? Because there's fraud. And fraud is a intentional material representation. As a result of that, it's intentional. It's got a scienter requirement. And as we discuss, if there is fraud by the directors or the officers or the shareholders, the corporation's really not acting like a corporation, the courts will not respect that and will pierce that corporate veil and make those individuals liable. Other than that, that's an extreme remedy, and it only happens in rare circumstances, as we talked about it the last time. We also talked about who are the liable parties. Of course, it will be the directors, it will be the shareholders, it will be the officers if they pierce the corporate veil. But there's certain times when the top 10 shareholders are liable for things like wage claims. There's certain times when the corporation will be responsible for things like unpaid subscriptions because it's not really a corporation because they didn't really sell the stock, and those kinds of things. Those are rare instances, extreme remedies. And lastly, last time, we wrapped up with the issue of insider trading, whereby you use your information that you have to either avoid a loss or get a gain through the selling of shares of stock. So as a result of all of that, you're able to get criminally prosecuted because you've used your position. You've violated your fiduciary duty to the corporation and have used your insider information to purchase stock. We discussed the case of Martha Stewart, which was a very high profile case with respect to that issue. Tonight, we're going to talk about LLCs, as we said. We're going to go through the history and the formation and the purpose of LLCs. And we're going to do a case tonight on Shapiro versus Ettinson. It's an interesting case. It relates to the membership agreements of the LLCs. Limited liability companies are run by a membership agreement, like partnerships are run by a partnership agreement. You have to have one. It's required by law, and you have to be careful with what you put in there because you can get hurt if you're not putting the right stuff in.
Let's get on to our fun area. LLCs. You ready? Limited liability companies, as we said, are a relatively new form of business organization. Only been around since 1994. Now, I recognize that many of us in this class were not even born in 1994. Okay, it's a long time for you. But for someone like me who worked on the original bill, it doesn't seem so long. And when you think about the fact that corporations and partnerships and sole proprietorships have been around for hundreds and thousands of years, 1994 is just a blink of an eye. It's a new type of business organization. But in its short lifetime, it has been successful. It has allowed the ease of management with the partnership to be married together with the limited liability of a corporation. It has become a very popular vehicle for smaller businesses. But what is an LLC? It's an unincorporated business organization. Why? It's not a corporation. It's an LLC. It's a limited liability company. It is of one or more persons. Now remember, a partnership can only be one. Or it has to be two people, right? Can't be only one. But an LLC can be one. It can be more than one, but it only needs to be one. So a sole proprietor can form an LLC and get the benefits of this business organization. It has limited liability regarding its contractual obligations and other liabilities of the business. So it takes that very powerful magnet for money, the limited liability, and converts it over to a smaller business organization. You don't have all those fees. You don't have all the rigmarole. You don't have to go out and turn around and hold those shareholder meetings the same way it was hundreds of shares. No, keep it one person. Now, how do you form a limited liability company? It's formed in a little bit simpler, but much the same way as a corporation is. What do? You have to file, not an article of incorporation, because remember, articles of incorporation are for corporations. You have to file an articles of organization, which is a simpler document, but similar to that which you would file for a corporation. It too gets filed with the Office of Secretary of State. And its fees are much less. This has become the business form of choice because it's simpler, it's easier, but it's still pretty powerful. It's an amazing business organization entity. It took the best of both worlds and married them together. Now, just like the business corporation law governs the operations of business corporations, the limited liability company law governs the business operations and formations of LLCs. It too, just like a corporation, is a creature of statute. You can only do what the LLC law says you can do. Just like a business corporation can only do what the business corporation law says. So the limited liability company law governs its operations, says how you form it, says how you operate it, just like the business corporation law does for business corporations. Its hybrid form combines that corporation style with the partnership flexibility. But remember, there's a major difference from partnerships. Only need one. With partnership, you have to have at least two. Not with LLCs. This flexible style, this flexible structure, allows owners to use that LLC to meet the needs of their business. It allows them to have a vehicle that provides them that incredibly important power of limited liability, together with the flexibility of low-cost fees and operating costs, and the nimbleness of a partnership, or even the nimbleness of a sole proprietorship. Now, you take your articles of organization. Again, it's a slimmed down version of your articles of incorporation. It's under section 203 of the Limited Liability Company Law, which I can tell you is one of the people who worked on the original law, was derived from the law of the business corporations. They took it and pared it back. And they said, we need similar documents to that which a corporation files, but we need to make it simpler. We need to make it easier. This corporation is going to be much more powerful than an LLC. It's going to be much bigger than an LLC. So we need to have an awful lot more in it. But with the Articles of Organization, they're trimmed down, they're slimmed down. The organizers of a LLC are like the incorporators. Remember, an incorporator are the people who file the documents, who draft the documents of a corporation. They're not the promoters, those are the people who sell subscriptions to the stock. The incorporators are the people who form the corporation, who do the drafting, who file the documents, make sure all the fees are paid with the Office of Secretary of State. Well, the organizers do the same thing with an LLC. And the organizers bring that Articles of Organization into the Office of Secretary of State, and they prepare and sign and file, just like they would if they were an incorporator, that Articles of Organization. That's the article, that's the legal document that creates the LLC. Any person or business entity, doesn't have to be a natural person, could be a corporation, may be an organizer. Organizers may be, but don't have to be, a member of the LLC. And what's a member? A member of the LLC is a person who is a combined, that's one of the reasons why it's part partnership, part corporation. They're a board of director and a shareholder are both at the same time. Whereas there's that distinction of roles that we talked about last time in corporate governance, there's a blending of those roles with a limited liability company. The member is both the shareholder, the investor, as well as the manager, the person who does the management of the business. Whereas a corporation is managed in a republican form of government by the boards of directors and then operated by the officers, and the shareholders elect those board of directors. With an LLC, it's one-stop shopping. You have a member who invests in it, who also does the management and operating of the LLC. One-stop shopping, all in one. Now, what do those organizers have to do when they're filing their LLC article and organization? They need to select a name for the business, just like with the corporation. When they file, you remember back in the corporate formation, you had to select a name of your corporation. And just like the corporation, you can reserve the name of an LLC the same way that you can ahead of time for a corporation. So if you say, I want to reserve the names Bob's Donuts, I want to form an LLC called Bob's Donuts. Now with a corporation, you have to call that Bob's Donuts Inc. or Bob's Donut Corp. You have to identify the fact it's a corporation. Well, with an LLC, you have to do the same thing, only you call it Bob's Donuts LLC. You have to put that LLC at the end of the name so people don't confuse it with partnerships, sole proprietorships, or other corporations. They need to know that it's an LLC and it's got to be in your name. As the organizer, you also determine the other requirements. such as where the principal place of business is going to be, what types of operations is the LLC going to do. Are you going to make donuts or are you going to do something else? Or are you going to do anything that a legal LLC may do? You file that article of organization with the Office of Secretary of State with a $200 fee. That's it. That's the only fee that you pay at the time. Now, you have to have a federal ID number or use a Social Security number for that entity. Now, the federal ID number gets attached, so you're eventually going to need one for that entity. And you also have to do something you don't have to do for a corporation. You have to publish it in the legal notice that you're filing. The legal notices are those tiny little ads at the very back of a newspaper. That publication requirement was put in so you put the whole world on notice that you're doing this. With a corporation, you don't have to do that. But with an LLC, it's deemed that you do. And you have to adopt a written operating agreement. It's kind of like the bylaws of a corporation. That written operating agreement specifies what you're going to do. It's kind of like the marriage between bylaws and a partnership agreement. Now, as we said, when you select the name, you have to say limited liability company, LLC, after the name. It must be distinguishable from all other business names in New York, just like a corporation has to be. It must not include certain words or phrases that are prohibited by New York State law. You can't call yourself the New York State Public Authority. Why? Because that's prohibited by law. You can't use profane language in your name. Certain things are prohibited by the LLC law. Now, the name of the LLC, Now, what else has got to be in the articles of organization? You have to have your name that we just discussed. You have to say what county you're going to be located in. You have to designate, just like a corporation, the Office of the Secretary of State for service of process. You have to sign the documents as the organizer. You have to file the documents. And you have to pay the filing fees. Now, certain types of businesses. If I am going to file a engineering LLC, I have to demonstrate that we're licensed to be engineers. You have to demonstrate that whatever business you have contains the licenses or permits. That's required under the LLC law. It's an uncomplicated form. It's pretty simple. Almost anyone can fill it out. And that $200 payment can also be made with a credit card. Doesn't even have to be in cash or with a check. That amount of money is little compared to the fees that you pay over and over and over again with a corporation. Now, the reason you have to get a federal ID number is because you have to pay taxes as the LLC. The LLC, like a corporation, is a taxable entity. And as a result of that, that federal ID number designates you as a taxpayer. This is a one-page form you have to fill out. It's a pretty simple application made with the federal government. You can do it online with the IRS. It's not that big a deal, but you have to get it done. And that's one of the jobs of the organizers. Now, one of the biggest areas of screw-ups and one of the biggest pains, if you will, of forming an LLC, and it's the only place where it is kind of arduous, is the publication requirement. LLC law requires you post your formation of the LLC and the legal notices in a newspaper within the county that you're doing business. Once you've done that, once you've satisfied the publication requirement, your LLC is good to go. But oftentimes, because this is done more and more by average people who don't have a lawyer to do this, they forget about that requirement. And it's a problem because technically your LLC is not up and running. It's not an LLC until you meet that publication requirement. Now, frequently when you're filing the documents with the Office of Secretary of State, they demonstrate to you you have to do that publication. But that's something you can't forget about. It's important. You must do it. Now, why are those publication requirements out there? Because the form of the LLC is not just new, because it's only been around since 1994, but more importantly, it's different. It's more individualized, and you're getting that limited liability that other types of business entities don't. That limited liability is why they do the publication requirements. And as a result of that, every year it's revisited by the legislature. Should we remove that publication requirement? And every year they say no, because of the fact you're getting that limited liability protection, which other businesses don't have. The legislature has held that you ought to turn around and let the whole free world know you're choosing this entity. You're now going to be a limited liability. Somebody who invests in you, somebody who works with you, is not perhaps going to get all their money that they would be owed ordinarily because you have limited liability. Now, there's also another reason, and sadly it's a little bit more political. Newspapers are in financial trouble all over the state of New York. Every one of them. They're not quite insolvent, but they're having trouble financially. And this is a source of revenue for them because there's more and more LLCs being built and being made every day. They want those publication requirements, the newspapers, to stay in place. Why? Because it's a revenue for them. And people who are elected to the state legislature are not anxious to take off a newspaper. So as a result of that, even though every year it comes up as a question, should we remove this publication requirement, the newspapers come in and say, you better not do that. So as a result, most of the elected members of the legislature say, I don't think we're going to go against the newspapers. There's good reason for this. So, but anyway. Now, are there any special responsibilities associated with forming an LLC as opposed to running a corporation? Well, they're different. The first and foremost thing is, with a corporation, you don't have to have bylaws. You have to have in articles of incorporation, but you don't have to have bylaws. Now you should, and 99% of the time you do. But with an LLC, you have to have a written operating agreement. Those are the bylaws. You have to have that in order for it to be deemed to be a operating LLC. It's in Section 417 of the Limited Liability Company Law, and it specifies that the operating agreement must be entered into before, at the time of, or within 90 days after the articles of organization are filed. Now, you could file that operating agreement with the LLC article of organization. Why? Because that article, that operating agreement is signed by the organizers, because frequently they're the members too. That operating agreement states and establishes the rights, powers, and liabilities between the members and the LLC. It's an agreement. It's like a partnership agreement. is very similar to that. And it specifies, it's an internal document, and it is frequently not filed with the Department of State, but it can be. It tells you what the consequences are for actions you take. It tells you your power, tells you your duties. It lines them out. Now, where that operation agreement is silent on those things, the limited liability company law controls. It's a creature of statute. But you can, within the parameters of the limited liability company law, you can modify things, you can specify things, and you specify it within that operating agreement. Okay. Now, how is the limited liability company taxed? Federal tax regulations allow an LLC to elect to be taxed as either a corporation or as a partnership. Do either one. Whatever is best for your company. But it is a taxable entity. So you can be taxed as a partnership, which means the taxes get paid through the partners, in this case the members, or taxed as a corporation where the entity itself is responsible for the corporation, or in this case the LLC. So as a result of that, you can change which way you want to do it. Whatever way is best for your company, whatever way is best for what you're trying to do, you get to make that election. You got to notify the IRS, and that's the way you can do it. LLCs are a wonderful entity. They're small. They're nimble. But they still have that powerful limited liability. They still have that creature of statute. They have that Articles of Organization, that Constitution. They have those statutes, which are the operating agreement. And they allow you to operate in a nimble, successful, membership-driven organization. The members are the investors, but they are also, just like in a partnership, the managers. You can do it all. LLCs have, as a result, taken over the business organization world. They have become the entities which today are the lead form of business organization for new businesses. You have had, of course they still don't outnumber sole proprietorships because there is a formation, but of all the new business organizations, partnerships, corporations, LLCs have taken over everybody else. Why? They're easy to start, they're powerful, and they're inexpensive. They're a great way to do it. We're going to move on to our case, and we'll see you momentarily. Thanks so much for listening.